sad. They miss their kids.
And the teachers, once, yeah.
Yes, the teachers, definitely. And I know that really once we get back online where kids, where teachers and kids could communicate, I think that's really helped us move forward. But it's definitely a different time, but I'm really very proud of all of our efforts to really make the best of this situation that we can. And also, we really feel like we're going to come out of this on the other side, learning some valuable lessons that are going to help us in the future. But really thankful for many different things that are happening. But I want to start off with our child nutrition. Tom, if that's okay.
That's great. Let's go, because that's a very important thing.
Absolutely. You know, when I was on last month, I think that was around spring break,
mm-hmm.
When we were talking about our plans for child nutrition, and that's going wonderfully. The Sodexo staff, John Beckloff, does a great job. We are feeding kids, and that's for kids that are 1 to 18 years of age, and that's for all kids. I want to clarify that, because I know I've had a couple of questions parents had asked about, is this just for kids, if the kids qualify for like free and reduced lunch? Mm-hmm. And no, actually, this is for all kids. And so anybody, as long as they're between 1 and 18, we have feeding. They can go through the drive-thru at Central and Madison Middle School from 8 to 9:30 or 11 to 12:30. And then we actually have buses that are running throughout town. The Bartlesville School Child Nutrition page has some more information about that. And the way those meals are reimbursed, it's not a loss to the Child Nutrition Department. So that's why we encourage, if anyone wants to participate, they're welcome to do so, regardless of their income. And we're feeding... our child nutrition department is distributing over 4,000 meals every day.
Wow, it's a lot.
It is great. Yeah. And I can tell you I know some of our parent feedback that we've received, it's been good. You know, a lot of our parents are maybe home with kids now that they haven't been before. And it's enabled them to get into a bit of a routine in the morning and to the afternoon, and maybe go out to maybe if they're either driving to go pick up some food. The kids, or maybe they're going out to the bus stop and kids can see the bus and maybe see some of their friends from, you know, being socially distant and picking up those meals, because kids need that routine. We all need a routine.
We do.
I believe. And so mm-hmm. I think this is important. It's a great opportunity for all of our kids, and thankful for that response.
Well, this has really been interesting, but it appears to be going rather smooth. And one thing to the credit of everyone involved is that we've had plans in place, and especially when it comes to the distance learning. Our schools were ahead of the curve by a good shot compared to most.
Very much so. And matter of fact, I'm on Joy Hoffmeister, the state superintendent, her advisory council,
mm-hmm.
Superintendents. Matter of fact, we met yesterday. We meet weekly. And so it's really good to know kind of where we sit and with our planning, our community's long-term vision in terms of technology. Mm-hmm. We're in such a different place than we were just a few years ago. And so thankful for that, because we want to make sure our kids are ready for that next step. And want to mention this website. I'll probably do this more than once, but bpslearn.com. That's BPS as in Bartlesville Public Schools, learn.com. That's really a one-stop shop for any information related to distance learning, regardless of the age of your child, if you're interested in meals, Wi-Fi, any of those type of things, that all that information is on one at one place. And so, yeah, I'll give you kind of a brief recap of where we are for the rest of this year, but we are really starting to turn our efforts to the following school year and planning for what that may be like. So obviously 6th to 12th grade, all the kids, they already have a Chromebook device. And so they're able to communicate with their teachers electronically. They're able to submit their work that way. I'll just give you a brief example. My wife's an 8th grade math teacher. She has a couple different content areas, pre-algebra and algebra, and she'll have a daily, maybe every other day, there may be a lesson for her kids. She's able to, where kids can see her. She can email them a video of her teaching the lesson. They have some time to submit that. They have the opportunities over a day or two that can be returned to them, and they can do it again. She has an office hour every afternoon where a kid can get on there if they need some additional help to converse with her on a daily basis. So that type of resource is available and that's a pretty typical of most of our 6th to 12th grade teachers. Elementary is a little different, mm-hmm. because we've sent packets home, and teachers are communicating the best they can with the kids. You know, parents are obviously helping them along with that. And so because they don't have devices. One issue that has come up is in terms of Wi-Fi connectivity at home. And the way that's been addressed, and which has really been this has been a great opportunity to get a good feel for where we are with our kids in terms of connectivity. Over spring break, our board met and purchased 275 Wi-Fi hotspots, and they have distributed about 35 of those to staff who needed those at home. And they have also, we've distributed, I think, about 61 to our students so far. And they have the opportunity of kids, teachers can submit that if they know kids that need it from 6th to 12th grade, they turn that into their administration, and then technology works on getting those out to the kids. And so, matter of fact, they have a next distribution is later today. Mm-hmm. So we are prepared for that, for all kids and staff to have that connectivity. And then moving into next year, Tom, we're planning for that. I mean, obviously, we've got a few weeks here where we're going to finish up this distance learning the best we can. But no one knows what things are going to be like in the future. But some things that we're doing to be proactive about it. Because one issue that has come up, we felt like right now, if we were one-to-one from pre-K all the way through 12th grade, if in other words, if students had devices at home, that would enable them to have a little bit more, an elementary student could have, for example, a little easier for a kindergarten teacher to be able to read to their class if everyone had the device. So we are moving forward with a combination of resources from, there's some stimulus funds that are coming in. We have some bond funds and then also some private funds. I know that Phillips has recently announced they made a large donation to the United Way. And we're going to be pursuing some of those resources. And our plan is that in when the fall comes here in August, that we'll be able to go have a device for every kid from pre-K through the 12th grade, and where we were just 6th to 12th grade. And then also for additional hotspots, so that at the elementary level for those kids that don't have that connectivity at home, we'll be able to provide a resource for them to do so. So because what we're not, you know, what we don't know is, first of all, whether we'll be able to start school on time. We're having those conversations now about our academic calendar. What options do we have if in case we need to start later than what mm-hmm. we've originally planned? You know, we can also foresee situations where when we do get started, you know, if there is, you know, if we don't have, if there is an outbreak, you know, at one of our schools, a kid comes down with it or staff member comes down with it, where kind of like some schools have to do now, have had to do in the past with the flu, where we may have to say, you know, gosh, we need to close school down for a day or two so that we can sanitize the buildings before we can reopen them again, and can see waves of that happening next year. I mean, in case there hasn't been a cure hasn't been found. And what we need to do and what we're preparing for is so that we have our distance learning set up so that learning can still continue, where we don't have to say, okay, we just have to put everything on pause. We're going to come back to school in June, where we can say we're going to close school down for almost like an inclement weather. We're going to close school down for a matter of days till we can make sure things are safe, where the health officials say we could be back in school, and then we could resume classes as normal. So we're making all those preparations, and we're so thankful for our community support, because all of the resources, many of these resources that we have for our kids on the technology side are provided through local bond money. And so that's really made us to, had an opportunity to make us better.
Very good, very good. Seems like we're ahead of the curve here and being proactive, and that's always a good sign. And as far as the kids are concerned, I can tell you from a 12-year-old, she misses her teacher, mm-hmm. and boy, does she miss the socialization. But she says she's learning how to be patient in this time being. And it's kind of a hard lesson sometimes if you're, you know, under the age of 20 or 30 to be patient. And she's learning it, though. And but the lessons are going along well. There's a lot of participation in our house, and I'm sure that a lot of parents are participating very nicely with their children as well.
You know, it's been, we're at our end of our second week on distance learning, or actually in the middle of our second week, and overall the feedback has been positive. I'm thankful that this came up at the end of the school year. You know, we had 75% of the school year complete. So a lot of times if you're in a tested subject, for example, you've probably already covered your major standards at this point, maybe just starting some review to get ready for some of those end of year assessments. But I know it's been eye opening for our staff, because we have so many resources that are available that maybe some of our teachers haven't had taken the time to delve into, because what they were previously using was working. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're in this environment, they've had to learn some new things and to rely on other teachers. I'm so thankful for our technology department. Granger Metter leads that department. We revamped our whole administration team when I became superintendent to put an emphasis on technology and learn with that piece. And Granger's done a wonderful job. Yes. His team, not only just the folks that fixed items that come up, But, you know, we have the class at the high school that Wendy Metter teaches and leads the students that actually repairs Chromebooks, and that is still going on now. Wow. The kids can come and drop those off and pick up something else if that's needed. Zach Michael is a full-time teacher. His full-time job is to work with other teachers on professional development with our secondary teachers, and he's doing a wonderful job. Ashley Callahan, she's been a gifted and talented teacher over at Hoover Elementary, and she is our new elementary technology integration specialist. And so now her full-time job is to work with other teachers at the elementary level. And so, you know, we're feel fortunate that we had the planning and the forethought to have these resources set up so that teachers can't, they're not on an island mm-hmm. where they can learn from others. And we're continued to move forward with, we're so that we had a methodical approach in terms of this technology integration. However, this is causing us now to think about if, as we do get in the next year, that we are going to get over that hurdle in terms of additional devices for mm-hmm. our elementary kids, because we think this is something that could be helpful to them for the near future, and really going to need to ramp up our efforts on professional development, on working with our elementary teachers on what that'll be like to help them communicate with their kids. So really, really excited about that. Tom, and I wanted to mention also that our in terms of pre-kindergarten enrollment, that we've had a couple of questions about that. You know, if I'm a parent and I have a four-year-old that's going to be ready to go to school next year and the schools are closed, how do they do that? What they need to do is they can send an email to the principal of that school and they can help guide them through that process. Enrollment will continue. I'm really excited about this year that we're in. We have the largest number of pre-kindergarten enrollment that we've had in district history. Wow. We have over 65 more students this year taking pre-K classes than we ever have. And so that's frankly a lot larger than a lot of our graduating classes in the area. So mm-hmm. we're very appreciative of that. It's a great opportunity. This upcoming school year, we're going to change those class sizes too, where those limits are going to be at 20. So there'll be a full-time teacher and also an assistant for all of our pre-K students. So that's something that we're excited about for the future. And we think a big piece of that is, our community is able to see the resources that they're able to get into the hands of their kids. You know, we talk a lot about this technology. So really excited about that opportunity for them. And one thing I wanted to mention also on the elementary side, on the distance learning, Tom, on that bpslearn.com, parents can also, or students for a matter, can also, but they can download, they can view those assignments on their phone. It's viewable on the phone. I mean, it's not just to have that printed packets. They can, if they want to print those at home, we'll talk about some way to do some packet distribution, but the preference is for us to download them at home, and they're also viewable from their phone, so they can, they will have the ability to do that. And then also wanted to mention another opportunity that's come up that we're just starting to share, talking, which is a little bit different, but it's somewhat related, in terms of the our Bruin virtual school that we're starting. There's been, people might have seen a lot of things in the last couple of years, for example, like Epic Charter School, which is a full-time online school that kids can enroll in, that it's a statewide, for example. And so what we have always offered online classes, but we have been working on through our strategic plan to having a full-time virtual options for kids. And the difference has been before for us, so what it'll be is it'll still be teacher led. It's not going to be just here, here's your go log on to the website and do your work. And it'll be, they'll still have times where they'll have to come in and visit with the teacher. They'll have times to get additional help. They can also have a blended schedule where a kid could be in some traditional classes. Because, we have some, maybe if I've been homeschooling my child and as they get to a certain age, we'd really like for them to participate in band, for example, or some of our fine arts programs, some of our athletic programs, and they can still be a Bruin, but they still need that flexibility where they want to take the rest of their classes online. Well, we'll have the opportunity for them to do that. And so that they can find information about that at BPS, as in Bartlesville Public Schools, bpsvirtual.com. Matt Hancock will be the director of online learning. He also oversees our Bruin Academy, but Matt Hancock and then Marcia Fouts is a counselor that if people are interested right now in contacting them to get some more information on what that could look like for their kids. So really excited about that opportunity because I think that might help reach some kids that have not been a Bruin before, and we'd love for them to come and be a part and take advantage of all the resources that our community has provided for our kids.
What's graduation going to look like?
That's a great question, Tom. So we're going to be talking about that at our board meeting on Monday night. Gotcha. It's scheduled for May 22nd. And what we're, frankly, what obviously it doesn't appear that we'll be able to have an in-person graduation at that time. So right now, what I anticipate that'll look like would be probably having a virtual graduation at that time, which would be, you know, kids can do their speaking parts. We'd have a slideshow of all the graduates. Postponing the in-person graduation, we're looking at something in the end of July. I think July 24th actually is the date we're targeting for an in-person graduation. We're just, you know, praying that's hopefully that it's safe to do so, because obviously we want to celebrate our kids and give them the opportunity to walk across stage. And hopefully by that time, we'll be able to do that. So that's our plan right now, is to proceed with a virtual graduation on May 22nd and then postponing our in-person graduation, most likely going to be at July 24th. We'll be talking to our board about that on Monday night.
Good. And that's going to be a virtual meeting?
Yep, that's correct. Correct. Oh, yeah. Monday night at 5:30.
Yes. Social distancing.
that's exactly right. We still have some bond projects that are ongoing. Lots of work that continues. Encourage people, if they're out taking drives in the community. Press box and the ag building over at the high school
is
coming along great. Yeah, those guys are actually ahead of schedule. So those are going to be complete, and it's really looking well. Matter of fact, they're hopefully putting the roof on the press box today. And so that's exciting. And that's Manhattan Construction is doing that work for us. They are also going to doing the work on the Fine Arts Center, an automated lift for the stage. And that work will be, as a matter of fact, the board has already approved that work that's going to be happening there. The turf projects at Rigdon Field over at the baseball field is basically complete. There's a couple little tweaks that they had to do, and we're looking forward to doing having a ceremony to dedicate that field as soon as it's safe to do so. But the turf field at the baseball field and softball are both complete. So really excited for our softball girls when we get back and they can practice. They'll be able to, you know, this last year we had so much rain. Hopefully this will give them the opportunity to play some more games this year. I also wanted to mention on the press box, I haven't said this here in a little bit, we're very thankful. The Lion Foundation, just want to remind folks too, they donated $400,000, which is about a third of the cost for that press box. So really thankful for them. They do lots of work. They're very quiet in our neighborhood, in our community, but do lots of brick and mortar type things that they invest heavily in our community. We're very thankful for their support. Some safety things that have happened. People may have noticed if they've driven by the high school and noticed a new light, a new crossing light. Those are paid for with bond funds. The city of Bartlesville installed those for us, and so thankful for that. We're getting ready to approve on Monday night. We'll approve some additional video cameras throughout the district, which means we'll be replacing what we currently have and also expanding those. That work will be ongoing. And then also we have some heat and air, some HVAC work being done at Madison and also over at Wilson. Our elementary touch screens, we're replacing all of our whiteboards, our electronic boards, and all of our elementary schools over the next 15 months. We're escalating that process in our elementary schools since there's not school in session right now, and that'll get started. That's actually getting started right now. And then Central Middle School in Ranch Heights, at Central Middle School, there's a drive project over here on the north end where that will connect. The plan is for that to connect to Cherokee, which will hopefully help with the drop-off over there at Central. And then Ranch Heights would provide some additional parking spaces over at Ranch Heights. Okay, I think I got through. Those are most of our bond projects that are ongoing. And then obviously I mentioned all of the technology that's being purchased. That's primarily purchased with either bond or private funds. So very thankful for our community support.
Well, good work. And it's great to hear a lot of positives are coming out of this big negative at this point in time and how well we've adapted and been ahead of things. And Chuck, thank you very much for being a part of the show.
You bet. Thanks for